can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
The part one, Don and Ivan, not a topic did we mention because you kept interrupting Don as Toby, what's his name?
Corey.
Corey said, Grumpy Don, could you tell him to stop interrupting? So well done. So now,
can I pass a compliment before we go in between breaks? I had one of Shubra's snacks. Why don't you back the girl? You got plenty of money. You could make a snack. You could put that girl in the business.
Against Kate Save? Against her food empire?
Yeah.
Be Fit Food.
We could have Shubra's delicacies or something. What could we call it?
No one knows what you're talking about, Don. And mind you, that is par for the course. No one has known what you've been talking about for the... I said for the 180 podcasts we've done, but you and the doc reckon we've done 1,000 podcasts because we do 4 segments each time. So before we get on to where this nonsense about dividing Australia goes, about the obsession to recognise people who are at this country first, which we all acknowledge, but they have gone to a different level. The Indigenous nonsense that goes on at the start of any event, we all are appreciative and we all give thanks for the fact that we're here. If we could have a bit of quid pro quo saying maybe they could, the people who want us to recognise that they were the first inhabitants, which we do, and we give thanks. But if you could stop going on and on and on about it so that you are deliberately dividing them against us, what about the fact if no one had come here all those years ago, there'd be nothing here? So the great Lionel Rose said, and I keep saying, I don't look at myself as black and white, I look at myself as an Australian. And the nonsense that went on at the start of the test match, seriously, we had Auntie Betty, is it? Or Uncle, Auntie, someone?
I tuned out about that.
That's the point. People who say, I said, did you watch the cricket? He said, we tuned out after we had been given permission by someone. I think it was, I didn't watch it, of course, but Auntie Betty said, well, you're welcome to use our land to play the test match on. And apparently, if I've got that wrong, please tell me. And then then we gave thanks to the people who owned the land to start with. Fine, we acknowledge all. And then there were three flags. There was the South African flag paraded there and the Australian flag, and in the middle was the Indigenous flag. What is that about, Don? Could we be under one flag, this country?
And is South Africa under one flag, or have they got a couple?
Well, they had one flag represented at the cricket, and we had two flags represented, which just shows the world we are a divided nation. It is so contrived, virtuous nonsense that goes on, and every event starts now with, what about carols by candlelight? Holy mackerel, if you want to damage and degrade a franchise, carols by candlelight used to be a fantastic thing. I didn't watch it, and someone said we just turned it off. They had good on them. They had an Aboriginal choir singing, fantastic. They had gay people. They had LG. They had was a virtual parade of wokeness, and the whole theme of carols by candlelight was lost on these pushes to show that we are inclusive, and we are inclusive, and we are combining, and we're equitable, and whatever the fancy buzzwords are, diversity. Could you stop actually ramming it down our throats and just let it wash over us and all be one people? Footscray Football Club. They had their Christmas party, their end of season Christmas party, and they called it a holiday party because they had a couple of Muslim workers that were Muslim staff, and they didn't want to offend them by calling it a Christmas party. What could we acknowledge the Muslims? Could we acknowledge Australia Day for those people who want to acknowledge Australia Day? Could we acknowledge the Indigenous people who want to call it some other day on whatever day they like? Could we all just stop? Why we would have to not call it a Christmas party? Because the Muslims would understand. Holy mackerel! And if they want to have a party and call it something else, it just shows you that we are so divided. And then someone went to the post office. I'm just on a rant here. Great rant. Someone went to the post office. Listen to this, Australia Post. And you know, when you send mail, you have to put on the back of it who you are. So
the sender.
And the bloke at the post office said, he put his town, and he said, would you be able to put the original name of the town on it? And he said...
What?
He said, what do you mean by that? He said, do you know the original Aboriginal name of the town?
Oh,
and he said, Don, I said bullshit. And the bloke said, I'm telling you. And he said, I don't know the original Aboriginal name of the town. And the bloke said, that's fine. He said, if you don't, it's not mandatory to put
not
it
yet.
On. He said, but we'd like you to put on the original name of the town.
Well, this is a postal worker.
This is Australia Post.
Oh, how...
So I challenged him. I said, that's not right. He said, I'm telling you, that's what happened. Where does this start and end? Could we possibly say we're all one people and we'll acknowledge the traditional landowners and elders? And that's fine. Two sentences rather than this nonsense that goes on and flags and bloody ceremonies and the AFL... at their grand final day, I've said all this. And if you think that's racist, good on you. It's not racist. It is being absolutely anti-racist. We're trying to be one people. Whether we're... God, Jesus.
Has that bloke got any money out of the Aboriginal flag and the artist?
I don't know.
He licenses it out, doesn't he? Or they settled
it. Holy mackerel.
The government were going to buy it or something, were they?
It is a crock of shit. They just... And they keep going and going and going and... It's a rort. You've got to pay for someone to come and give thanks at the ceremonies. What is it? To have three flags at the start of the test match.
What about the Torres Strait Islander flag?
I was going to mention there was four flags. Well, there was actually five, but...
No, well, I was sent a picture.
Five flags. Hang on.
I sent it.
Well, what?
Did I send it?
Oh, you did.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, no, but there was... Only,
no, there was...
I'll get it up.
All right.
Hang on, the Torres Strait Island flag. Is someone getting a cop out of that as well?
No, I'm not sure. They should.
Why?
Well,
does anyone get any out of the Union Jack with the star flag?
No, I think no.
Right. Well, why should everybody else get a?
Because there was five flags over the southern stand there.
No, I'm
the Shane Warne.
Just a minute.
Stand.
I'm getting your flag here. You sent me this. Well, right. So Don, here I'll show it to you.
So what? One was the MCC.
So flag, that was what the, MCC yeah. there, flag.
There's the start of the game, and there's on.
Give us a look, please.
There's the start of the game.
Well, where's the? Oh yeah, there's the three flags.
The three
or is it three or two?
There's three there. There's the Australian
righto.
Flag. There's the South African flag, and in the middle there's the Aboriginal flag. Why? We've given thanks and we and the woman gave us permission to use the ground for the test. I mean, holy shit, what happens if she
didn't give permission?
Exactly.
They'd have to move the... Where would they move the test to? Across the road.
And the more people...
Well, they might own that too.
And the more people don't just say, what is going on, the further it goes. And every single thing... Go and open the door, please, Ivan. Every single thing, about to enter the stadium here is the world, four-time world aerobics champion.
Sue Stanley.
She's coming in, not to interview. She
aerobics. I did aerobics.
Well, what? She wasn't. No, she mightn't be aerobics. We'll ask her what she was.
Is this our subject for the day?
No,
our
not
interview,
she
interviewee.
Came in to, she came in to speak to me about something.
Is she, are we going to interview her?
We're not going to interview her.
Why not?
Well,
Ivan, move it. Sue, sit down. My name's Don. How are you, Sue? Sit down, Sue.
Sue, sit here. Sue. Oh.
Hello, Sue. I'm sorry.
Sue,
how are you?
Sue, sit down here, please, Sue. Just correct me. We haven't got her in here to interview, but she can be. Because she came in to speak to me about
I'd like to interview her now. You told me she was a world champion.
I said she was the four-time world aerobic champion. Now, probably that's the wrong term, is it, Sue?
Three-time world aerobic champion, one-time
Number one,
Speaking into the microphone, Dale, please.
Are we on?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
Jesus
Christ. Don't blaspheme.
Jeez, we're real professional here, aren't we?
I said you walked over to say hello to Don. I said we're on here. I said you're the four-time world aerobic champion. No, I wasn't sure if it was aerobics or it was called something else.
No, it is three-time world aerobic champion and one-time world fitness champion.
Oh, well, there you are.
So fitness. Aerobics, vital. I used to work in 1978 for a gymnasium, Sue, and we pinched the idea from Sydney and we brought aerobics down to Melbourne.
Okay.
So what did you do with regard? We used to do a series of exercises to music. Is that what you were doing?
Well, that's what aerobics generally is, exercise to music, but it's like an hour long. But what we did was sport aerobics, which is a minute and 45. So technically it's really anaerobic, not aerobic. So sport aerobics, so it's a minute 45 seconds long and you've got to do a maximum amount of movement, strength, flexibility and coordination.
In a minute and 45 seconds.
So you're depleting all the oxygen out of your body and then trying to do strength and then get up, when you do push-ups, so you've got all the blood pumped into your chest.
You were doing push-ups?
Yeah.
Really? Not many women can do push-ups.
Well,
please.
That's why she was the champion, Don, because she can, you dumbass.
And what was the other one? World Fitness Champion. What did that entail?
Well, when I actually won my world title, they actually sort of said I was really too short, too fat, not the right image that I wanted for aerobics. So it sort of played in my head about, what our body image should be. So I wanted to do the World Fitness Championship, which was how you could actually shape your body into what you wanted by using the diet, very much like on the bodybuilding fitness championships. But you do an aerobic sort of gymnastic routine. So it wasn't going down that low. Probably got down to about 8% body fat.
Did you really?
And was pretty coherent and could do strength. I had my strength and everything.
Put that in the picture, the average Joe is about 16% body fat. Women, I think, are 18%. AFL footballers about 12%. And marathon runners have about 8%. So there was just absolutely no fat on your body.
No, we were pretty lean at the time in the fitness championships.
How hard is that to maintain 8%, Sue?
For a female, it's pretty hard.
Are you looking at her as we speak?
Don't you shut up. We're trying to have an intellectual conversation.
Now you're interviewing her, so go ahead.
So the next question I've got, now I've seen you on the good ship Venus. We asked His Lordship before who were the guests yesterday. Were you a guest yesterday on the boat?
Yes.
Yes, I was.
And who else was on the boat, Sue?
Oh, there was about 25, 30 other people,
really?
So it was a big crew.
Did he run it aground this time, Sue?
No, I reckon it was probably the first time without any incident, didn't we, Sam?
Yeah, no.
And where did we drive to, Sue? Across the bay to the pizza
drive.
Place? Or what did we do?
Sail?
Paddled.
Paddled? You paddled.
I'd get you out there, Don, on the boat.
It's a boring trip with you.
On the contrary, Don, I'd say all the people on board had a fantastic day on our bay.
Did you entertain
them? That's as good as what? I don't entertain them.
You've done well. You've had lunch, Christmas lunch.
This is how this goes, Sue. I get one or two words out and then Don interrupts and just goes off on a tangent. I said, it's a fantastic day out in the bay. Well, where did you go and why did you go and who came? I said, well, I'll just go answer all those questions in order. Now, Don, Sue came over here.
Sue came up for another reason too. Are you still in fitness?
Not really. I do fitness, but sort of semi-retired at the moment. A little bit of sports medicine.
Sue's into supplements for
blood. No, she gave
blood
advice
types.
To somebody
blood,
that...
gave advice to me.
I help people along the way.
Yes, help people to maintain...
That's my passion.
Too.
A level of wellness, Don.
Wellness.
And because I've had a debilitating ankle injury, we're trying to just make sure that it is... treated as well as it can.
Why don't you just chop it off?
Why don't you shut up, Don? Now, Don, we haven't done a subject yet, and Sue can be in this. You started. We did the stuff about the God Almighty. We've done all that stuff. Steven Spielberg. Have a listen. This is our first topic. We've been doing this for an hour and a half. Steven Spielberg has come out and said that had he known about the damage he did to people killing sharks, he would never have made the film Jaws. Can you believe someone would be so up themselves and so stupid that they would say the film Jaws is deleterious to sharks and people went out and killed them as a result?
People were killing sharks before Jaws came along. That's why we're eating flake.
Really, Don? That's my point. Why would Steven Spielberg tumble into that woke bullshit about saving the planet by saying his film... Do you know how many sharks they slaughter a year for shark fin soup?
What about flake?
Yeah. Well, just to say, take the fins off them. This is what they reckon. 200 million
really?
Sharks a year they slaughter and they cut the fins off them and just throw the shark back.
Really?
That's what they say. And Steven Spielberg says his film Jaws, which they said was the first film he ever made, which is bullshit, it wasn't. Duel was the first. Duel was the first.
Was that him?
First Steven Spielberg, it was. The first Steven Spielberg movie was made in 1971. It's about a bloke called Dennis Weaver who drove a fuel truck.
That's right.
And he was stalked by a...
big black thing.
That you never saw. You never saw the bloke driving it, and it stalked him for the whole film. That was... It had a budget of $450,000 back in 1971.
Back a lot of money.
And his second film was Jaws, and that was had a budget of $9 million, and that was in 1975. So the people who wrote that bullshit, they were wrong. Jill was his first film. And it was about an imaginary person stalking this bloke who drove a fuel truck.
Yeah.
So there we are. So and
it went
and
over a cliff at the end, didn't it? And groaned.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, haven't you?
No.
So Steven Spielberg.
Okay, I won't say any more.
Right.
Oh, you won't say any more.
Well, no, it'll ruin it for Ivan.
Steven Spielberg said that his film Jaws, had he known what his impact had on sharks, he would never have made the film. Can you believe how pretentious and how arrogant and stupid can you be? Well, what do you reckon? People went out and killed sharks because they're the enemy, number one enemy in the world because of the film Jaws, do you? They made three of them, in fact.
I'd say a few Jaws people one, wouldn't two, go and three. Into the water because of Jaws.
What?
I'd say a few people wouldn't go into the water
because
they've seen that movie.
Yeah, that's might be right, but that... is any more questions for Sue, Don, seeing as she's here? See if you can think up...
Sue Aerobics, why hasn't it continued on? Because it was an enjoyable form of exercise. So why is it just a fad, do you think?
Is that a question or just a statement, Don?
A statement and a question.
Hmm.
Well, it changed. Evolution changes, like fads change. And so aerobics, then it was pump aerobics with the old Les Mills. And now you have the CrossFit and the cross training sort of type of functional sort of workouts and things like that. So it'll come back. The old headbands and the leg warmers and they'll come back.
Olivia Newton, John. And who was that bloke in America that used to do
Richard
it?
Simmons.
Oh,
Richard
yeah.
Simmons.
Yeah. Dick Simmons.
No, Richard.
Dick.
Yep.
Dick to his friends. Dick Simmons. Dick is the shorter name of Richard, Don.
Okay.
King Dick.
Very effeminate.
What? He Dick. Was very effeminate.
Yeah.
Well, he might have been gay.
No.
He wasn't?
Yes.
He was. Of course he was effeminate. Yeah, he was gay. Mind you, if you're gay, you don't necessarily be effeminate, Don. You could
just
be gay.
Happy.
People say you're gay and you're not effeminate.
I'm
God,
grumpy.
Ever look at you.
I'm
you're
grumpy, you said.
What?
You said I'm grumpy.
Corey said you were grumpy. Grumpy Don. That's what he said. I'm not saying that.
How can you be gay and grumpy?
You serious? Christ, I know plenty of people who are gay and grumpy. How are you going? See, this is. I'm glad you came into this.
Glad I walked into this one, didn't I?
So you said, Don, when I said we didn't do a topic for 35 minutes and we went to a break, you said... I've got hundreds of topics.
I have.
Well, let's hear the first one in an hour and a half.
What do you want me to talk about? Jockeys?
No.
Traffic the Peninsula, David Warner. Scams. You've been scammed lately. I'm getting a few things.
Did you ask me what do I want you to talk about? Don, what I do is
Sydney to Hobart,
I suddenly bring up and I say, do you know about Steven Spielberg? And then I go on and we have a discussion. bring up a topic. Do you want me to bring up another topic before you can think of one to bring up yourself? Don.
Go.
It's unbelievable. This is what happens. And when we finish, Sue, we wind this up and he gets in his little truck and he says, hey, you know, I had a lot of things to say and I should have said them and I didn't. And I've given him an opportunity. He says, no, you go ahead now and you give one. Do you know there's a proposition by the government that if you have agricultural property on the edge of town and they rezone it to residential, the price of your land, of course, goes up exponentially. This is you, yeah. If and do you know that if they put that increased price because it's now rezoned residential, that you get charged 50% tax on the extra value that that land has now been realized. And that if you wish to sell your land to capitalize on the extra money, you have to pay 50% tax on the windfall, and you get 30 days to pay the tax. And if you don't wish to sell your land, you get 30 years to pay the tax on what the increased value of your land is estimated at. And you reckon, and that has got nothing to do with capital gains tax, it is just a new tax that if they decide to rezone your land on and you wish not to sell it, it doesn't matter. Your value of your land has gone up and that you are now required to pay 50% tax on the windfall. Well, did you know that?
Even if it's its PPR?
Even what's what? That? Even what, sir?
Principal place of residence.
No, nothing. Only it's on nothing to do with it. If you if they rezone your land,
you've really hit an Achilles. It's a bone of mine.
This is coming in on the first of July.
I'm having a go at our rates on the Mornington Peninsula. I don't know if it's consistent throughout Victoria. Has gone up an extra 10% this year, and what we get is one service. One service, and that is rubbish collection, which I use once every 6 weeks because I recycle. So it is costing me nearly $75 to $100 I am giving to the council each week to live on my property. And they've changed the rating system that they go on market value. So somebody next door might have sold their house for $2 million, you know, some exorbitant amount. You get two buyers, oh, that's the value of your place.
Or if you did a renovation or anything on the Mornington Peninsula, they put it way up. Yep.
You are dead on, Sue.
You were mouthing the words. You can speak.
No, I'm giving a... Fucking positive reinforcement.
I've got a property on the Mornington Peninsula. Sorry? I've got a property on the Mornington Peninsula.
We'll talk afterwards.
Okay.
Yes. And the rates.
We can talk after it.
My neighbours are paying up well over $5,000 for their rates for their property. And
you can dispute it.
Yes, which I'm going to do next year, but you only get 2 months from the time you get your rate notice to dispute. So they give you until March to pay. So I look at, oh yeah, I'll have a go now, I'll pay my rates. Shit, it's gone up, 3.3 to 3.7.
Mm. You wait till they rezone it, Don, into residential.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just, and you say this is the
government doing this. Socialist government, Don, that's just been swept into power.
The other bloody thing on rural property, Sue, they will not tax you if you live on a certain acreage around the house, but the balance of that property.
2 acres?
Beg your pardon?
2 acres?
No, I think if or it's 10. Say, for 10, example, yeah. 20 acres. I'll just give you an example. They say around the house, oh, that's 5. So you get taxed on the remaining 15 when you sell. Capital gains tax.
So
is this right, what you just said?
No, I just made it up.
You've just made him grumpy for the day.
Exactly. He's fixed me right up. Yep. I've just paid the rates.
As a segue about socialism and free enterprise, Don Bradman has come into question now by the woke liberals. That is, I mean liberals, the woke socialists.
he wrote to Malcolm Fraser 40 years ago or whenever and said something about because he had extreme, not extreme, but he had right-wing views, and now they're on to Don about having right-wing views. Why can't you have right-wing views if you can have left-wing views? And they're
but hang on, back then it was normal views because basically Liberal were in power and had been in power for
I'm just saying they want to cancel or do something to Don Bradman because he had those views. Can you believe it? Can you believe it, Don? I'm asking you. Can you believe it?
What can they do about him?
Well, they want to remove his statue.
Where from? You can't take away. The man is a cricketer.
Are you
judge
serious?
On his
yeah,
cricket.
That's what the big push is.
Oh, wow. Come on.
Yep. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's got nothing to do with his cricket. And anybody
well,
that's
got something
any
to do
sport
with his
is
cricket.
A little bit unique
it's got
anyway.
Something like Margaret Court. It has got something they're using.
You can't
his views.
Judge a person on today's values with what they achieved
well,
in the past.
We're saying that, but then now this is in the paper today that they're now ramping up against him because he had right-wing views. Do you want me to play this about the land tax?
Can we play it?
Land tax coming in Australia as well.
It's I'll just play a bit of it.
Windfall tax.
Listen.
And this guy explains how it works.
What's happening in Victoria? Windfall gains tax. What's that? So when you've got an agricultural property on the edge of town, it gets rezoned as residential and the value of that land goes up. That's going to be taxed at 50%.
So it goes on and on about what it is. But
he hasn't got a good radio voice, that fellow. Who is it?
Well, it's on. It's not on.
You ought to go and listen to Ben Fordham or get a word off.
Don,
Ben
he's
Fordham.
Not a radio. He's on a social media.
Oh,
thing.
Okay.
You know, like the people like that us. I just said. That when you turn on to Twitter and all that sort of stuff, the first three names you see are bloody Mike Carlton, Peter Fitzsimons, and for God's sake, Rowan Connolly, giving their opinions about crap. Who cares? Honestly.
Did you happen to see the Sydney Hobart start? I think that's one of the most spectacular sporting events. Just the start.
Is this a topic?
It is a topic.
Good.
And how those people jockey those huge boats, those maxis, and jockey them to get advantageous position on the start line, and how they do it just about to the second as the gun goes off is absolutely amazing.
Is it?
And trying to dodge all the flotilla.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. The flotilla, there's thousands of boats out there. And the other interesting thing is that all the boats have got black sails. I think they're carbon fibre. Is black carbon black or black fibre or something?
Let it heat up, would it?
No. Well, I don't
make
know.
Make it go
but
faster.
Anyway, they're all black. They're all big black sails on those boats. And
might
Comanche won it again too.
Did he?
No, she did it.
She, they call a boat she.
No,
Don,
Comanche is a
but they call boats she's. You know, she is a great ship. She's a great boat. They call the gender of a thing on...
Oh, that will change. You can't have a gender of a
That's
she.
That's right. It'll be non-binary
what, it,
boat.
What do you think? It, Sue?
It'll be it.
It, they.
No, they.
They.
Were sailing the boat, they. Now, Don, if you were asked to crew a Sydney to Hobart yacht, would you take it on? Would you like to
no.
do it? Why not, Don?
Very primitive conditions, I've been told.
Oh, what, for a day and a half?
And no beds or you live
for a day and a half, would you go to bed,
no,
would you?
How would you know it's a day and a half? You get stuck in the bloody, Bass Strait.
Bass Strait, yeah.
And the wind comes up, storm, the people
were
lost.
Oh, so you couldn't stay up for 2 days just to save your own life?
No. It's not on your bucket list?
No, not at all. It's
too
deep out there.
Fantastic.
What?
It'd be fantastic to be on the crew of a maxi yacht, Sydney to Hobart. It'd be fantastic. You're worried about if you could go to sleep at night in the bed, were you?
Well, there's no
God,
convenience. Well, there's no luxury.
Why, you won't have a crap. So you want to go down to the toilet and freshen up and put a bit of aftershave on and have a bit of a shampoo and a shower and then come up and have a bit of breakfast? They're on the boat for a day and a half, Don, trying to break a record and come up the door.
If a storm comes up, you're out there for 2 weeks.
Well, that's the beauty of you're a thrill seeker, Don. This is the adrenaline you get, and if there's a huge storm comes up, you've got to try and rescue yourself, and that's part of the attraction of it, isn't it, surely, rather than going to bed and getting up and having a shave and, you know, she's got the bacon and eggs, thanks, just while people are getting the spinnaker up and trying to break a record and you're down there pulling your dick, just lolling about reading the paper. What's wrong with you, man, you stupid man? Seriously, Don, do you ever think about what you say? Do you ever think about what you're saying?
Did you watch the jockeys at Stony Creek yesterday?
No.
I reckon jockeys...
To fill us in on what you're going to talk about.
I said jockeys. What do you think jockeys are? Monkeys. They ride horses.
Tell me, you said, did you watch
the
jockeys...
I watched the races at Stony Creek yesterday.
Yes.
And it came to me... Do you call jockeys... Would you call a jockey a sportsman?
Yes.
Would you?
Yes.
Or is it a profession?
I would call them a sports person. The woman who rides a horse or the man who rides a horse are sportsmen. They've got to handle things that are 10 times their weight.
Well, I don't think there is another sports person in the world or profession or pursuit or whatever that does what jockeys do.
Okay.
They were riding in 36-degree heat yesterday. They ride in the wet, the cold, and it's... just about 365 days of the year.
That they're not sports people, Don.
Well, I don't think there's a sport that has to put up with what jockeys have to put up with.
Oh, F1?
Regard to climate.
What?
F1?
Yep.
What? They cancel the race if it's raining?
No. They get rained on.
What?
No, they get they wet. Don't.
Or they only...
And the heat.
And the G-forces.
They're in charge of not an animal, but something similar.
Yeah, a beast.
Something else between them.
Okay, we'll give... I'll think about that because I... What else, Sue? What other sport?
Well, hang on. Aerobics? What's your question?
No.
Why not?
What did you say? Aerobics is not a sport?
Well, sailing. Sailing because people are in charge of a boat, so it's not...
Billiards.
You're in, that's a sport. It's not hot and cold. I then go sailing in the wind or... When the rain is happening,
what yachting? Did you say? You
don't, well, she said sailing.
They don't go in the wind or the rain. What the fuck is wrong with you, man? You stupid man! Now, Don, you're going to have to go into a clinic over the new year. You've lost all sense of what you're talking about. You have no idea what you're saying. You open your mouth and hope something intelligent comes out of it. You're saying that if you get on a yacht, you don't have to deal with the wind and the rain and the sun and the ocean. And that's therefore...
You wouldn't go out in the middle of winter in your boat.
I go out every week on it.
Not in the middle of winter.
Did you hear what I said? Every week I go out on my boat.
He's a nutcase. He loves it.
You're not bloody wrong, and so is his crew or his passengers.
I don't take passengers out in the winter. I go out on my own, Don.
You don't take
get away from people like you.
You don't take
so
a rifle
so I can just have a bit
do?
Of solace. What?
You don't take a rifle with you.
A what, Don?
For jaws.
Rifle.
A rifle? What's that mean?
Well, you blow your brains out going out by yourself. This You're is, a little bit
this
strange.
Is, yeah, it's extraordinary.
Christmassy.
So welcome to the unreal world of Don Scott, Sue. Sue is sitting here gobsmacked, Don. The cat's mother, Sue, will say, gee, Don was putting that on because I was here trying to make out that he... I said, no, he wasn't putting it on. He's subdued today. Usually he's sillier than this. Give us one of your topics about the race.
What about Qantas? Those passengers that complained about the... plane being turned around, not even appreciative of the fact that they were at safety. That plane could have blown
give
up.
Give us the just leave. Give us
well,
please,
didn't you I'm telling you about the Qantas passengers.
Well, just for the people who listen around the world, just say what you're talking
we've
about.
We've only got one overseas.
Just say no. We haven't.
He's
we've got
here
plenty.
In Melbourne
we've got a lot of expat Aussies. Mm. Just say what the Qantas argument. What did Qantas do, Don?
They can't. Oh well. The plane had to return to
Why?
The airport because they had a warning on their instruments panel, something to do with, I don't know what it was.
Fire,
was it? Thank you. So Ivan's read the article.
No, don't.
So they've returned to the terminal, got the people off, and the people bitched and carried on because there was a stopover of 11 hours. They were put up in a hotel.
The Marriott.
Not appreciative of the fact that Qantas actually turned the plane around. It could have caught on fire in flight.
Seeing as we've
people are funny, aren't they?
Seeing as we've done 600 episodes that you and the doc reckon, this is how you'd introduce that topic.
Boys and girls, were you aware that Qantas had a malfunction on one of their flights, a fire indicator, and the plane and the passengers had to turn around and come back, and the people are winning? That's how you'd introduce it.
Okay, well, I'll just come up with the word and you can do the introduction. David Warner.
No, hang on.
David Warner.
Just a minute. I didn't know what the Qantas story was, so how could I introduce that?
You're across a lot of things.
Don't know what David Warner's done. What's he done?
Well, you introduced the topic.
But if you tell me what you're going to speak
about...
I'll
give you another topic. You ready? You need to...
No. You've got to go on the David Warner because that's pretty good. With David Warner when he hit the 200.
Yeah.
And he had the heat stroke and he had severe dehydration.
Do you watch the cricket, Sue?
I watch a little bit.
Okay.
If you
Would you shut up, John? I'm going to have an intellectual conversation here.
I'd like to join in.
Yes, Don.
Will you shut up? Why would they prejudge that man? Okay, his scores haven't been up to standard, but they don't take into account, maybe they do, the fact that he's facing a really ferocious attack. Four fast bowlers from South Africa,
mm-hmm.
and your timing for those, and they're fresh when they come on, who's opening the batting?
Yep.
Your timing has just got to be so good to be an opening batsman, more than anyone else, and they're judging him saying he's finished.
No. All athletes go through their troughs. They go up and they're down. And he's had some ups, but he's had a lot of ups. And I think people have got really short memories that they forget really how good he was. And maybe he's gone through. And he's had a bit of a trough and he's had a bit of challenges recently. And now to come back yesterday, I thought that was pretty tough. That's mentally tough, I thought, what he's gone through.
You call him a sportsman, Don?
The other thing, Sue, if you're a devotee of cricket, doesn't have
to go out in the sun or the wind or the rain.
The cricketers nowadays, watching them, hold their bat up. Now, when I was a youngster learning cricket, you always had the bat down. I reckon they're bowling much quicker than ever they have in the past.
That's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense.
Shut up.
Jeff Thompson used to bowl 160.
Will you shut up for a moment? Because the batsmen used to start with their bat on the ground, take it back, they had a back lift, then hit the ball. Nowadays, they've got the bat back and coming forward, which you would never do in years gone by.
The West Indians fast bowlers and Dennis Lilly and Jeff Thompson, no one bowled quicker than those boys ever.
So therefore, you're questioning if the ball got better or the batsmen got slower.
Well, why has their technique changed that they now hold the bat up, up which they're not really protecting their wicket in the old sense?
The voice of logic, Don, isn't it refreshing to have someone come in?
I would like to hear the voice of logic, but you keep butting in.
But if you have the bat down, then you've got to take it back. Then there's like a nanosecond. So there's a couple of more nanoseconds going back. So they're actually holding it back so they can visually see the ball when it comes not out of their hand, but actually the angle of their arm, their wrist, to see where it's going to hit. They can hit it. So they're taking a little bit more time.
But it's contrary to the way that we were brought up as youngsters, that the ball, you had to protect your wicket.
Yeah, times change, hasn't it? Mm. Yeah.
Ivan has some information that might...
What do you do on a Wednesday, Sue? Anything? Because we're starting to get a little bit of intellect here and sense. Thank you very much for dropping in.
Ivan has some information that you might enjoy, Don.
So how fast, Don, do you reckon Lilly? DK Lilly.
Oh, they're exceptions, but the...
Hang on, Don.
Michael
there
Holding
was Lilly and
or
Thompson.
Bob Willis?
Bob Willis.
Shut up, Ivan. Ivan has got some information you might be interested in. Don't ask him a question. Read it out, Ivan.
All right, okay. So DK Lilly, 96.2 mile an hour. So... What's
in that? His heyday, when he first came on the scene.
Oh, in his heyday. No, when he was at school, Don.
No, when he's retired.
He had to reconstruct
his body and go.
Michael Holding, second one down, 153.
Poetry in motion.
153 what? Kilometres.
Kilometres.
Well, you just did Lilly and miles an hour, mate.
Well,
be consistent.
Wayne Daniel.
Yeah, Daniel.
150.8
kilometres.
Bob Willis.
Yep.
Have a guess.
Read it out.
145.
There you go. Not quick. So fast medium.
140. I'd like to see you stand in front of a bloke bowling at 145K.
All right. Jeff Thompson, you reckon he's faster or slower?
Faster.
Yes, you're right. 160.5.
Okay. That's 100 miles an hour.
160.
100 miles an hour, and you reckon the fast bowlers are quicker these days. Yep. As Sue says, maybe the batsmen are slower, Don, like you. You're slower. You've got a lot slower mentally since you stopped playing football. Because no one's belting you around the head, smacking you into reality. So there you are. That was.
I haven't got any more.
Yeah, I'm looking for Warney, actually.
Who? Shane Warne?
Yeah.
He was about 90 mile an hour, wasn't he?
Let me. The listeners will be. Shane Warne.
90 k's, was he?
Did you ever play cricket?
I did.
Yeah?
Quick. Oh, not quick. I shouldn't say that.
Are you fast or a slow bowler? Or
fast.
Or were you a batter or a bowler?
I'd hold up my end near the end. I was very stodgy.
I'd hold up my end near the end. Did you see? Let Sue ask you some questions, Don. Let's have some. Let's let her ask you some questions about your prowess as a cricketer or a sportsman.
Because I think that would be a very good question. She's got an intellect, this girl.
Yeah. How did you find when you finished playing football, how did you get back into the community and your lifestyle?
Very difficult. Because I was going to make a comeback 12 months later.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You missed it that much?
Well, yeah, because when you do it, I was doing it rigorously for 6 days a week, and there's just a void in your life. But I was lucky, Sue, because I took up horses again, and that satisfied my competitive instinct and urges.
Okay. So that transition's very different, difficult, isn't
that
it?
That is very, very, very difficult. Now, how the boys do it now, the Players Association give them 3 years to reevaluate, to value their life.
Okay.
So they're professional athletes, and a lot of them are not educated or have a qualification, but the Players Association give them, I think, 3 years in order to readjust.
Really?
So when you finished on, you went into a decline and became depressed, did you?
He found animals.
No, I found something else. I
found animals.
A greater being. That was a very
something
good
that you could control and couldn't answer back.
This girl is... that's a good
question.
So, Don, were you...
That's the first time I've been asked that.
Really?
Mm. So, Don, were you ever...
Sue, please.
On the field when
there
was...
She's a sportswoman. That's why she thinks like this. Sorry, Ivan. She's a sportswoman. That's why she thinks like that.
Thinks like what?
She's got a brain. She asked the right question to ask a sports person.
What did you have?
How did you do it, Sue? I'll put it back to you. How did you readjust?
It is a tough one. I found that even for myself, although I probably moved into the public speaking and that sort of like that performance when you're on stage that you do, I found that that sufficed my performance. I didn't think, because you know there's nothing better than being physically and mentally fit at the same time. So when I finished, I was able to suffice mentally, and then it's probably easier to keep fit because obviously being in the fitness industry and stuff like that. So transition wasn't too bad, but... I had business opportunities.
So you're occupied. You had something
had
to do.
We're onto a theme here, Don. Why don't we close now and then... this is in-depth stuff from a sports person who's smart and intelligent, and you've given Ivan and me the arse. She can come back and you two can have a chat about where your life's headed, Don. And you could give us one or two of your topics that you've not mentioned so you don't whinge when we finish.
You've got to think about the listeners that are out there.
That's all I ever think of is the listeners out there. So we're going to just close this off and we're going to come back.